The Lord be with you.
And with your spirit.
A reading from the Holy Gospel according to Luke. Jesus was praying in a certain place, and when he had finished, one of his disciples said to him, "Lord, teach us to pray just as John taught his disciples." He said to them, "When you pray, say, 'Father, hallowed be your name, your kingdom come. Give us each day our daily bread, and forgive us our sins, as we ourselves forgive everyone in debt to us, and do not subject us to the final test.'" And he said to them, "Suppose one of you has a friend, to whom he goes at midnight and says, 'Friend, lend me 3 loaves of bread, for a friend of mine has arrived at my house from a journey, and I have nothing to offer him.' And he says in reply from within, 'Do not bother me. The door has already been locked, and my children and I are already in bed. I cannot get up to give you anything.' I tell you, if he does not get up to give the visitor the loaves because of their friendship, he will get up to give him whatever he needs because of his persistence. And I tell you, ask and you will receive. Seek and you will find. Knock and the door will be opened to you. For everyone who asks receives, and the one who seeks finds. And to the one who knocks, the door will be opened. What father among you would hand his son a snake when he asks for a fish? Or hand him a scorpion when he asks for an egg? If you then, who are wicked, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will the Father in heaven give the Holy Spirit to those who ask him?" The Gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, Lord Jesus.
I know in my own prayer life, I tend to go back and forth between prayer of intercession, that kind of prayer where people always ask you to pray for them, so I always try to remember everybody who's asked me to pray for them. Or even in my own life, if I've got a particular need, I might pray for people that I know that have a particular need. That prayer of intercession is something that Jesus obviously is valuable to God. In the first reading today, Abraham is interceding on behalf of many people, and he's very persistent, isn't he? He just keeps going on and on. I go back and forth between that kind of prayer of petition to that kind of prayer that says, "Lord, whatever is your will, whatever is most important to you, whoever it is that needs my prayers the most, let that apply to them." I think we see those two forms of prayer in a couple of places. I think about Jesus in the Garden of Gethsemane when he obviously prays a petition to the Father, "Father, let this chalice pass from me." But then he immediately follows that with the prayer that says, "But not my will, but your will be done." You see, there's both of those prayers kind of included in both of those in that particular moment. Because the Father knows best what I should be praying for, better than I do. Well, they ask Jesus how to pray in the gospel today, and he gives them the Lord's Prayer. And I think today is an opportunity to ask ourselves, what is prayer, really? What is prayer for you in your life? Is it something that you do well? I think when I speak with a lot of people, usually I hear a lot of discouragement because people really don't know how to pray. Or the question, even more basic, do I pray? What is my daily prayer? And what does that even mean, really? Is it a series of prayers that I've got in a little book that I follow every day, like some kind of devotional thing, or is it 20 of these and 40 of those? What does that daily prayer look like in your life? Because it's different for different people. When we were kids, we were sort of given an idea of quantity of prayer, more necessarily than quality of prayer. Then we go even a little bit further and we say, is prayer something even that I do? Right? Because a lot of people will say, I don't do it well. I don't know what I'm doing. And I would usually ask the question, well, is it something even that you do, or is it something that God does through you? Prayer is actually an openness of heart. It's a stance that we have before God, an openness to receive whatever it is that God wants to give. It's not so much a doing. I think when we get into our minds that we've got to do this and this and this, I know my grandmother, whenever we would go see, my grandmother had a heart condition all her life. She'd already had her third heart attack by the time my mom was married. So throughout her life, and then back in those days, they would say, exercise is the worst thing for you. Just lay on the sofa all your life, which is what she did. And she would sit on the sofa and she would watch soap operas and she would pray the rosary. Soap operas and rosary, right? And we would say, how are you doing, Grandma? And she had a limited experience of her life. And she would say, well, I'm 23 rosaries behind. And even as a small child, I thought, that's kind of weird, isn't it? That how can you be behind in rosaries? There's that idea that comes to us from St. Catherine of Siena, who says, or St. Teresa of Avila, too, who says that it's not the number of prayers you pray. You could say five Our Fathers today. You could say one Our Father and make it last all day long. You could pray one Our Father and make it last all week long and spend each day on a different part of that prayer in your meditation. It's not a matter of performance as such, because if we focus on our performance naturally, I think we're going to be disappointed. So if we just rattle the words and don't engage our brain, that means we're not thinking, which means we're not being fully human. But even less than that is the question, is your heart engaged? Is your heart a part of the experience of prayer? Because ultimately, prayer's got to be a kind of a synergy between God's divine energy and our human energy. It's a communion, really. It's a meeting of the two. So Jesus says, this is what you are to say. And so if we diagram what Jesus says today, it's kind of the perfect prayer, if you think about it, the Lord's Prayer. There's a prayer of praise. Hallowed be your name. There's a prayer of resignation. Your will be done. There's a prayer of petition. Give us our daily bread. There's a prayer of repentance. Forgive us our sins. And there's a prayer of trust. Deliver us from evil. I like the Spanish translation of the end of the Lord's Prayer better. Rather than saying, like as if the Lord would lead us into temptation, right? Which, of course, he would never do. In Spanish, we always say, do not leave us to fall into temptation. I think it's a better translation to understand the prayer. But what I would like to say to you today is, even in the Lord's Prayer, we've got these five different components. These are things that the Lord is trying to draw out of us. These are expressions of the heart that have their origin in God. And God is calling us, he's leading us to make this movement of our heart to him. He's calling us to an awakening. And that awakening is nothing less than to become Christ. That's the whole purpose of this Mass, isn't it? Prayer is the response to desire. First of all, God's desire for you. And then in response, your desire for God. So obviously it has to involve the heart. But even more, since that which we desire has already been given to us, that is union with God in Christ, our prayer must therefore be our becoming him, our becoming Christ. So if you're still saying to yourself, I'm not doing it right, then I would say stop doing it. It's the biggest misunderstanding about the prayer of adoration. We have a holy hour, right? What are we going to do to fill up that whole hour of adoration? So we come with our books, we come with our rosary, we come with all these prayers, and we fill up that time with all this busy stuff. When actually what the Lord is asking us to do is just sit, to be present to God in the same way that he is present to you. We have that visual reminder that he is present to us at all times. Even if we don't see him, if we don't see the host, we know that he's visually present right here in the tabernacle all the time. So be present to God as he is present to you at all times, so that you may know the delight of his being here. The greatest prayer of all is this very Mass. It is a participation in the sacrifice of Jesus to the Father. Unfortunately, most people still see this role as one of being an onlooker, watching Christ do this work, as he did at the Last Supper, or even worse, sadly, to watch the priest do the work for us. Pope Francis, in his apostolic letter this summer, speaks about this mystery in which we participate, one that requires a kind of wonder on our part, not because of the concept that Jesus saved the world and this Mass somehow is the instrument of that salvation, that is true, but that becoming Christ, it is we ourselves who make it happen in him. Pope Francis says that people feel lost in our postmodern world without a compass, lacking in values, indifferent, orphaned from the fullness that allows us to only see a fragmented understanding of the full horizon of meaning. Human spirituality is not an abstraction, some kind of spiritualism. That's what you see everywhere today, right? I'm spiritual, not religious. A kind of spiritualism that cannot serve humanity in concrete circumstances. Pope Francis reminds us we are incarnate spirits, body and soul, capable of sacred action in which sacred signs incorporate us into the reality of the concrete reality of the divine. It is with this reality of the modern world that the Church, united in the Second Vatican Council, entered into contact, reaffirming our awareness of being the sacrament of Christ, the light to the nations. So there's this word sacrament. It also means a sign. Obviously, we learned in our catechism a sacrament is an outward sign instituted by Christ to give grace. There are seven sacraments, but they're all capital S sacraments, but there are also other sacraments of the Church, and one is the Church herself. The Church is the sign, outward sign, of Jesus. And there are the sacrament. There are the sacrament of the words that we speak and the music that we sing, which themselves become the vehicle of sacred action. We are not simply to make an offering of words to the Father. In Christ, our words become the vehicle by which we offer ourselves to God in Christ. Our hearts, our lives, our hopes, our struggles. The offering being made, the words themselves mean very little. Any words will do. They could be memorized formulas or a movement of the heart. When it comes to prayer, it is my experience that people have assigned themselves a much less important role than God has already given them. When you pray, remember, it is Christ and his Holy Spirit that pray through you to the glory of the Father. Anything less is simply words on a page.